Thank you, David. Right, I have a question for you as we begin our service this morning. Something for you to think about, and maybe we'll ask people if they've got an answer in a minute. Has anyone made anything this week? Has anyone made it? Have a think first, have a chat to someone next to you. Can be anything, can be something permanent, something that didn't last very long, something that was a wonderful creation, something that collapsed without trace. I'll give you a couple of minutes to think, to chat. Has anyone made anything this week? Doesn't matter if you haven't, it's fine. Yes, Grace? You made some flapjacks. Oh, were they nice? I bet they were, yes. Chocolate chip cookies and loom bands. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, creative indeed. Anyone else made anything? Did I see a hand over there before? No, too late. Was I? Did I miss my opportunity? Yes. Okay. Yes, Andrea.
I made a decision about my job.
What was going to change? Oh, we're all on the edge of our seat, but you've made a decision. Excellent. I like the way that you thought differently about that. I've made a decision. Very good. Yes. Yes.
I made a mighty mess in the kitchen when I got into a huge amount of stuff.
Made a mess. Brilliant. Anything else?
My suffering, I had a broken glass to begin. I got my assistant to help me fix it. So that would make a cooling fan.
Oh my. That's very technical, isn't it? Yes. Very good. I don't understand. Very good, yes. Yes. You made someone do something. Wonderful. Any other creations? Yes. Made a few meals. Okay, well, some things we make are quite simple. Some things are a little bit more complex, and some things are very, very difficult. We're going to watch a short DVD about someone who's made quite a lot. The Bible says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messenger, flames of fire his servants. He sets the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth." Let's continue in our worship.
Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in love.
God, we thank you that this morning we can worship you as a great and mighty God, that we can look around and we can see the wonder of creation around us and know that behind it all is your creative power. We thank you also, Lord, that you've given us the ability to create and design and make. We thank you for the gifts that you've given to us, that we can enjoy creating as well, or even if we struggle with it, that we can have a go, that we can enjoy the fun of it. We thank you, Lord, for all the different things you have made. We thank you most of all for making us in your image, male and female in your image. And we worship you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It's time for us to take up our offering this morning. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father God, we offer to you something of what you have given to us. We pray that it might be used in the right ways. We pray that through what is given this morning and in other ways, that you would bring others to know you. Father, we also pray for us here in this part of the building and for those who go to different parts of the building to their groups. We ask that you would walk with us. We pray that you would anoint those who lead, and we ask we would hear your voice and understand your words. In Jesus' name, amen. It's now time for the children and young people to go to their groups this morning, and for others to say hello to those around, maybe settle into a seat they would like to sit in for the rest of the service, make yourselves comfortable. A few weeks ago, we began, only maybe 2 weeks ago, was that when we were on the weekend away? Not that long ago, was it? We began a series on the Holy Spirit, it being Pentecost, when we were away, and then we sort of did Pentecost again last week because we like it so much. But we're continuing a series on the Holy Spirit, and Rob is going to come up this morning with our reading.
And reading is in two parts. First part is from the very beginning, from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And now from Psalm 104. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created. And you renew the face of the earth.
Thank you, Rob. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. These two verses at the beginning of the book of Genesis must be among my favourite verses in the whole Bible. for lots of different reasons, but mainly because every time I read them or every time I hear them in some form, even though I know what is about to happen, I still find myself getting a little bit excited when I hear these words. Because the thing is, these two verses at the beginning of the Bible immediately grab your attention. They're filled with expectation and they're filled with anticipation. It's a bit like going to the cinema to watch a film you've been wanting to watch for a long time, and you know, you sit there with your friend munching your popcorn, chatting all through the previews and the adverts, not really paying attention. But as soon as the opening scenes of the film come on, you start to feel a little bit excited. You quieten down. You fall silent in anticipation of what is to come. And it's the same here. For want of a better phrase, these verses at the beginning of the Bible are sort of pregnant with expectation. It's all about to happen. And when you read them, you cannot fail to get some kind of picture in your mind of what the author is trying to get across. Because the imagery is amazing. We read, in the beginning, all was dark and desolate. The earth was formless and empty. A soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. If you read the Message Bible, the earth was an empty wasteland. In the beginning, the world we know it was covered in darkness, waiting for life. It was in no fit state to be inhabited properly, and the picture created is one of utter gloom and darkness. But there are still things there. And in the next verse, there is still possibility, we find out. The expectation begins to rise. We're told that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The earth was desolate and void, but the Spirit of God, the breath of God, the wind of God was sweeping across the waters. Or if you like, God's Spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. Hovering, searching, waiting over the desolate, bubbling darkness, ready to create. It's a wonderful image about the creation of the world, a wonderful scene, a most exciting passage, that in the midst of deep darkness, at the beginning of time, God's Spirit waited in expectation. And it doesn't stop there, because unlike many a good film, which after the opening scenes dissolves into a disappointing mediocre DVD, this goes from strength to strength. Because as God's Spirit hovers, as his breath sweeps around the empty waters, God suddenly speaks, "Let there be light." And there was light. In a flash, the darkness is transformed, the mass is brought to life, and the creation of the world begins to take place. It's the most amazing beginning to the most amazing passage of creation. And yet, because it is so familiar to us, because we believe we know the creation story at the beginning of the Bible, we often miss this excitement, this anticipation. We often take for granted the process described in creation that God undertook to bring us here. Because here in the beginning was the Spirit of God, described in these first two verses as a dynamic power of God, which when unleashed on the world brought creative power not seen before. And also here at the beginning is the breath of God, which when breathed upon the world brought life, and life in all its fullness. But because this passage is so familiar to us, because the story of creation seems so far from our scientific culture, there's not only the danger that we become so familiar with it that we miss out on the excitement and the anticipation, there's also the danger that we simply confine these opening verses of the Bible to an act of God that took place many millions of years ago. Or we see it simply as a poetic description, and therefore it has little effect on our lives today, we say. Which is a real shame, because if we do this, we take away from the depth of understanding that is really hidden in the first two verses of the Bible. For the people of Israel, of course, who would have read this time and again, it would have been a different story. Because in their culture, this book, the book of Genesis, and the following four books of the Bible, made up their Jewish Torah, the five books of Moses, which were extremely important in their lives. They lived by them, they worshipped by them, they had everyday festivals that took place by them. They would have meditated on them, they would have shared them in their homes as families and in bigger gatherings at the synagogues where they would have been read. This book, the book of Genesis, and the following four were the bedrock of not only their faith, but their lives as they sought to follow God in everything they did. They were extremely important, and never more so when they found themselves in exile after being defeated by their enemies and carried away to foreign lands. They would have no synagogues, they would have no family gatherings, they would have no celebrations and festivals which were distinct to them. In foreign lands, they would only have God's word, these first five books. And so even in exile, the Torah would have been read quietly, secretly, in small, discreet groups. And in these times, it wouldn't simply have been a history book of all that had happened in the past before they'd been put into exile. It wouldn't simply have been a book of instructions to follow and try and stick to. It would have been a message of hope. And so you can imagine that when these two verses at the beginning of the book of Genesis were read out, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You can imagine the people of God, the people of God who had been scattered from their homes, who were living in darkness, who were feeling empty, who felt there was a void in their lives. You can imagine that when they heard these verses, they would begin to get excited. Because they knew that in their void, in their darkness, in their exile, the Spirit of God was hovering. The breath of God was waiting. And one day, God would speak and light would come to them again. Even though this passage would have been so familiar to them, they would not have written it off. Because they would have known that in the beginning, the Spirit of God created. And therefore, wherever the Spirit of God was, new creation would take place. Or as the psalm that Rob read out said, when you send your Spirit, they are created. And you renew the face of the ground. You see, the Holy Spirit of God wasn't just sent to bring into being the creation of the world, however we see that as taking place. It was sent to continue, to renew the face of the ground again and again, to continue to bring life and renew life and create life. So that when this passage was read to the people of Israel in their dark times, and indeed when this passage is read today, there should be excitement. Because it's not only talking about a familiar old story from years ago, or it's not just a debate we can have, science versus creation, or whatever we like to do. It's also, and perhaps more importantly, showing the true extent of God's Holy Spirit. That where the Spirit of God is, creation takes place. Where the Spirit of God is, new life appears. Where the Spirit of God is, change will come. Not just at the beginning of time, or in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, but right now, in our lives, today. Do you know, last week James had a birthday and a birthday party and lots of presents. And since then, we've been playing lots of Lego, which is very exciting because I'm not very good with like dolls and prams and things. But Lego, now that's a thrill. Anyone like playing Lego? Don't be shy. Yeah, exactly. It's great, isn't it? Any age? They put ages on the box, but no, forget that. And we've been building the most wonderful creations. They have the design that you can have on the box and you build that, which I have to say is quite complicated, ever tried. But then you can make your own creations, which is so much more exciting. And what struck me while I was playing this was, you know, you can have these brilliant creations, you can put them down, you can look at them and they're wonderful and they're great, and then you can build your own creations and mine didn't look quite so good. But, you know, they look okay and you're very happy with them. But the time when they really come to life, or they did for us, is when James picks them up and starts putting his life into them and creating games and imagining all these things. And then we're off into a new world of excitement. Doesn't matter what your Lego looks like, it could be anything, because he's bringing it to life with his wonder and his excitement. And you know, in the same way, God created the world, he created the universe, he created you and he created me. And the world is amazing and the universe is amazing, and not to be biased, you and I are pretty amazing as well, I think. But we only really come to life, we only really become the fullness of what we should be when we allow God to pick us up, if you like, to breathe his life into us and to enable us to truly be the people he created us to be. We only really come to life when God's Holy Spirit is allowed to renew us day after day after day. Inviting God's Spirit into our lives is not a one-off event that then that's done, tick the box. It's one we need to continue to renew us and to bring us to life again and again. Because, you know, otherwise we find that although we are living, and living fairly well sometimes, there are still areas of our lives which are in darkness. There are still parts of our lives which feel like they're voids. There's still bits of us that might be formless and empty. There may even be areas in our lives which we still feel are desolate. Even when we walk in the footsteps of God and are faithful to him. Because until we allow the story of the Holy Spirit of creation to leave the pages of Genesis and enter our hearts every day, until we recognise that the Holy Spirit is here and indeed wants to renew us and give us fresh life, we will never truly be alive. We will never fully live the way that God really intended and really wants us to live. Because where the Holy Spirit of God is, there is life. Where the Holy Spirit of God is, there is creation and newness. We're going to spend a few moments in quiet, maybe as we place our lives before God and think about whether we've invited God's Spirit to really take control of all of our lives, or whether there are areas in us where we feel desolate and empty, which we feel are still in darkness. And then I'll lead us in a time of confession and a time of prayer. So let's have a moment of quiet together. The book of Ezekiel says this: "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy to, say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. So as we go from here, may we know God's Spirit alive in us. May we be aware of not only his power, but of God himself residing in our lives. And may he walk with us and surround us and bless us. Amen.